The editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal has permission to publish the following amazing discoveries: astronomical intelligence. In the month of February, 1789, a most eccentric idea entered the head of Professor Zaretef Shorolov of the Royal Academy for Celestial Observations at Moscow. He caused a tube of 234 feet in length and 29 feet in diameter to be constructed of planks and made perfectly smooth and circular within as the interior part of a fusee. Instead of glass lens to furnish this enormous telescope, and which no vitrisical manufactory upon earth could supply, he formed them from the purest transparent ice, carefully cut from the river Volga. These pieces were 5 feet in thickness and of the diameter of the cylinder. Their proper diminutions he effected by the application of warm substances. It was not till after 13 days' unwearied attention that they were perfectly finished and rendered fit for optical purposes. This huge machine was constructed on a hill adjacent to the city of Moscow, where the learned and ingenious Professor Shorolov intended to make his observations, and was suspended so mechanically nice that it could with ease be easily turned to any part of the heavens. It was on the 25th of February, in a night uncommonly serene, that Professor Zaretef Shorolov, wrapped in threefold thicknesses of fur, turned his gigantic tube full on the planet Jupiter, when, to his astonishment, he found that immense frozen globe brought, as it were, within the reach of his hand for inspection. The mountains, rivers, houses, men, women, and even the very hens and chickens were perfectly apparent. Inured as the Muscovite was to ice and snow, the shivering appearance that everything put on at near 500 millions of miles distance from the sun frighted him. The sole employment of the men appeared to consist in procuring fuel, and of the women in heaping it on the fires. Lovers confabulated swathed in redoubled flannels, and frequently, when the mutual kiss was attempted, a cement of ice completed the contact. From these frigid scenes, the astronomer, shivering with sympathetic cold, turned his telescope to glowing Mercury. Everything was in contrast to Jupiter. There, external frost held its dreary reign, every pulse beat low, and life was almost afraid to avow its existence. Here, all was glowing sunshine and hurly-burly. Lawyers were worse than loquacious, coquettes fidgeted in frenzy, and the very ducks danced on the mud. The heat appeared intense. Joints of meat were roasted before the sun, as on our globe at a kitchen fire, and apple pies and custards were baking on every stone wall. The professor had already thrown off two of his fur gowns when the planet Mars caught his attention. "Ye that delight in blue coats with white or scarlet facings, or gold or silver epaulettes, red feathers with black tops, or black feathers with red tops, hats cocked, hats flopped, or infantry caps, muskets, small swords, broadswords, bayonets, howitzers, royals, long 12s and 48-pounders, behold a banquet for you all. In this region everything wore the appearance of hostility. Farmers plowed in gaiters, dropped feed corn from cartouche boxes, and digged potatoes with spontoons. The very women flew above in the style militaire. Their mops were made to resemble sponges, the rims of their spinning wheels looked like trucks, and their spawn pots were 13-inch shells. Professor Zaretef Shorolov saw a love scene, where the lady resisted as a besieged citadel, and the gallant made his approaches by zigzag and countermine. Hail, happy region, where woman for once is the governing animal, and men appear, perhaps as they ever ought, tagging humbly in the rear. Charming Venus, thine is the realm where masculinity dares not rear its audacious front, but lovely femaleism is all in all. Thus exclaimed the Russian sage when the beauteous orb of Venus met his enraptured eye. In an elegant dome, where every lattice and portal were thrown wide open, that all might see and hear, for ladies love to be heard and seen, were seated an assembly of matrons to legislate for the community. The speaker, in conformity to the order of the house, was dressed in a rich purple gown with a train of 3 yards in length, a petticoat most tastefully flounced, a camel's hair shawl glistening with undulated rows of diamonds, earrings of the purest pearls, and a tête and bishop protuberant and enchanting beyond description. The secretary was observed to make her minutes with a quill from the wing of a sparrow, and dipped her ink out of a reservoir of real horn. They appeared to be in warm debate, and the professor, by looking at a paper over the shoulder of a lady dressed in cross-barred muslin, found the subject to be whether the men in future might be entertained as obsequious humble companions, or be driven absolutely out of doors and employed in unremitted drudgery. A majority appeared for the latter measure, but the satirical Sherilov could not help remarking that several very engaging damsels offered their services as overseers of the poor yahoos. Love and all its delectable concomitants was utterly unknown there, as that passion exists but where equality is found or understood. The dear viragos had thrust the wretched males too far from them to admit of even an artificial reciprocity of situation. Many philosophers assert that love in the female economy acts as a powerful absorbent, and that where it is genuinely felt, 1,000 disagreeable queer feelings and perniciousnesses are perfectly unknown. Zaratov Shorolov, it is said, now inclines to this opinion from the multiplicity of not very bewitching freaks he observed among the Venusian ladies. Besides caprice, petulancy, and ill nature, the want of personal attention was general. Where there was no admirer to please, nor rival to mortify, so what purpose even the affectation of amiability? The accurate Muscovite, in the memoir addressed to his college, has observed that the female, on this planet from imperial women down to the humble mosquito, had uncontended domination. The ferocious heifer gored the bull from the pasture. Rams fled before heroic ewes. The tremendous goose stalked before the suppliant gander, and champion hens crowed over dejected he-biddies. The enlightened Shorolov was going on with observations to gratify and enrich his native planet, when a southern breeze blew mildly on him, warm vapors floated far and wide, and a trickling stream was all that remained of materials that drew such unexpected information from our neighbor worlds.